Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 9. There's tapes. He preached said to tell you that there are tapes. All the services have been taped. And so, you know, when they take me to court, I get paid. Okay, you know, when the ATF shows up and starts shooting, well, nothing I can do. But anyway, well, I imagine that'd be interesting, you know. Play all them tapes. Of course, it'd be nice to know they have to listen to them. In Acts chapter 9, Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. You know that. Saul was saved. Saul at this time. And it says there, you know, he was blinded, and then he went on to Damascus. And it says verse 10. I want to pick up verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I really do, God. God, if you had saved me and left me where you found me, I'd still be better for the encounter. But God, you didn't do that, and I don't believe you did that with any person here. Every one of us, God, you saved us. You cleaned us up. You made us better than we were. You gave us a better life. God, everything about our existence is better for having met you. We thank you, God, for your kindness and your graciousness. God, I know this is what you want me to preach. So I just ask, God, that you will be here in spirit, that you will speak to the hearts of each person, that you will accomplish your will and your desire in all of our lives, that the church might be edified and that you might be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Now, I have a sermon in Acts chapter 9 here, and I read through almost all the way to verse 16. In that sermon, and this is not, that's all I'm preaching. In fact, I think I might have preached it here. We only got seven, you know, it doesn't take long to get around. Anyway, you know what it is when your needle gets stuck? That's where, you know, you just kind of go by and go blip, 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 you know? There's a couple places, there's a couple passages that I have trouble reading through. I have trouble reading through Revelation. I preach out of Revelation, get in chapter 2 and chapter 3, and there's things I want to preach, but I get in those words where the Lord says, I know thy work. Now, I don't even preach on I know thy work, but I just can't get past those words because I think about what's going to happen when the Lord has us in front of him. And you know, you know what you do? Do you figure that God's as dumb as your employer, that or your wife or your husband or your parents, and you're going to give up your excuse for whatever you did and why you did it and why you're justified in doing it? And I believe, you know, right when you're ready, and of course you're eternity, so you can take 10, 15 years, and right before you do that, just to save anybody a little grief in heaven, I think God is just going to look over the judgment bar, look you dead in the eye, and say, I know thy work. And I think that's going to, you know, have an effect, the same effect that a microwave has on butter. I think you're just going to have, you know, we have meltdown, man. And so much for all of what you planned on saying and how good it sounded to you at the time. But I can't get past those words. And I come down through here, and I always get my needle stuck in verse 11. And it says this, The Lord said to him, Arise, go to the street which is called Straight. I like that word,
Straight. Amen.
When I don't preach on that, I still like that word, Straight. But tonight I'm not preaching about Straight. Tonight I'm preaching about Straight.
Amen.
Okay, I get to talk here and be justified in it. And I'm going to talk to you tonight just really simply about being straight.
Amen.
Okay, just about being straight. And you know, our world has corrupted some real good work.
Yeah.
Love does not mean what the Bible meant it to. Love today is two people in bed somewhere who met 5 minutes ago, you know. And charity is nothing more than taking your old blue jeans with the holes in the knees and throwing them down to Goodwill. That's charity. That's not Bible charity. I'll tell you something else. Again is a good word. But its newest application that the media has given it is not a good application. All right? And so they've just about gotten to where you can't say some words because of what they've done to it. You know what? And never messed up straight. I like the idea of it. That you know what? If I'm straight, what are they? They're crooked. That's right. I mean, look, man, it's either straight or it's crooked. And I'll tell you something. You know what I say? You're just straight. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That sure beats being queer. All right? I'm going to talk to you tonight. First off, that straight means not queer. Now, you say, well, why would you say such a queer? That offends me. Why would anybody who is sitting in an independent Bible-believing church be offended at the word queer? I'm not worried about me for saying it. I'm worried about you for being bothered by it. You know, say, well, it's an alternate lifestyle. It is not an alternate lifestyle. Okay? And on the lifestyle, I'm telling you the truth. Crime is an alternate lifestyle. Think about this. Wait. Many of those queers, they worked out. They're lawyers. And they're movie stars. And they're other walks of life, like dentists. Yeah. And their lifestyle is the same as anybody else. It is just that they are perverted. Okay?
Right.
Crime is an alternate lifestyle because a criminal is somebody that decided that rather than go out and be a dentist or get a job, he's going to steal cars. That's an alternate lifestyle. You understand? So if somebody says, you know, homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. No, it's not. It is perversion. Okay? It is not right. Yeah, I'll tell you something else. You're not born that way. Okay? No one is born that way. Look, and I'll tell you something. You know, I mean, I've met some guys, like I said, you know, I've met a couple guys that if they wasn't queer, they'd miss a chance of a lifetime. Okay? I mean, there's something you worry about. You know, there are some guys, I was in this one church, every time this guy came around to shake my hand, I worried. I mean, you know, he just kind of went, he didn't shake my hand, he kind of went, kind of rough, and you kind of went, and it was always kind of clammy. I always worry about those people, and I can say, think he's queer? I don't know, but boy, I'll tell you what, you know, I mean, he's probably a good candidate, I don't know. I'll tell you something, nobody is born that way. Now, what I'm about to say, you need to think about. Being a queer is a choice that a person makes. If it is not an alternate lifestyle and you are not born that way. Oh, by the way, so you are, so they look into somebody's brain. Well, I might cut some of their brains open. You know, I mean, I'd be glad to do that. Give me an old can opener or something, you know, or a little gizzle and a ball peen. You know, I'd open some of their things up, all right. But, and they said, well, they found out that the homosexuals have something in their brain that no one else has. Yeah, you know who found it out? Did you know the researchers that found that out were queers? But you didn't know that. They probably forgot to tell you that on the evening news. You know, honest Dan Rather. You know, he might have rather not told you that. Now listen, if it is not an alternate lifestyle, if you are not born that way, then it's a spirit. Homosexuality is a spirit. I'm glad you're sitting down. Any Christian is susceptible to any other spirit that a lost man accepts. The only thing that a saved man cannot do, or a saved woman cannot do, is go to hell. That is the only thing. You know, we've got this idea, and here's where we go off. Some people say, I'm saved, I can never be a queer because I won't be one. And the fact is that spirit is prevalent in our world right now. It is being promoted. All right? It is being exalted. It is being, we're being told that it is an alternate lifestyle, that it is something that you should accept. Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. What's going on in public schools with what they're teaching about homosexuality, it is not just don't throw stones or anything. I mean, now you know what they're doing. They're having classes where they're saying,
It's women in this class so we can find out, so you can find out if you were born a homosexual so that you can enjoy what's inside you.
Now, I'll tell you something, my friend. I ain't got no compound nowhere. All right? And I think that that guy belongs in prison. If what he did with them kids is true, I think he belongs in prison. I don't believe that the ATF should have done what they did. I can't get over how I told your preacher, I said, I like how they keep saying outgunned. It's just, we were outgunned. I said, yeah. Three of those guys got shot when they climbed in a window, which means if they hadn't climbed a window, they'd have lived. Which means that crowd shot one of those ATF guys outright, and they're claiming to have killed 10 to 15 of them. Who was outgunned? I was trying to figure that out. I don't know where that got in here, but I thought you knew that. Anyway, I got no compound. I don't preach revolution. I don't believe in armed revolution. The only revolution I believe in is go there and vote or don't vote. Vote who you like or vote who you want out. You know, let's face it, sometimes you don't vote for president, you just vote against one. Right? That's the only revolution. That's the only way I believe in changing our government. I'll tell you what. Somebody get one of my kids in the classroom and start trying to make a quiz. I could make tomorrow's headline. Now, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to be straight.
Amen.
Homosexuality is a spirit like any other spirit. It is a spirit just like a spirit of lust. It is a spirit just like a spirit of anger. It is a spirit just like any other spirit that you give yourself to. And I want you to know that the spirit of homosexuality has no power over anyone in here unless you say, okay.
Alright?
I didn't even say you have to go to a queer booth and engage your homosexuality. I said, all you've got to do is that thing will come by and it will solicit your support. And when you mentally and spiritually assent to it, you have already started on that path. Now, I'll tell you something, my friend. It's going to be pushed down our, it's going to be pushed in our faces. It is going to be in front of us. And I want you to know that if being a homosexual hadn't come by your way, it's going to ring your bell someday. It's all up in there. Well, I do a funeral on him. Yeah, I know what you are, but I know what's out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you something. You know what you want to be? You'll be straight.
Yeah.
I just like that.
Yeah.
That just sounds good. You know? Right. I was thinking, Maddie, some years ago, and they had Queer Day down there. And since they had Queer Day, they had the center of town. And since they had the center of town, we couldn't, let me fix these glasses here. We couldn't go down and preach in the center of town. So we did what any Christian would do. We went down, we heckled. And I'll tell you the truth, you know, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to get down there, and I'm going to feel real bad, because I'm going to see something that's going to make me sick. It didn't make me sick. It's hard to get sick when there's some guy with jet black hair and a jet black beard wearing a jet black evening gown. I mean, that was just, you know, that was just comical, you know. But I know we're standing back, you know, from this crowd, because you stand back from that crowd. You stand upwind from that crowd, because one of them may sneeze and may transmit a disease in a manner that it can't be transmitted. But, anyway, you know, and we're standing back, everybody, we just heckled. You say, well, that wasn't very loving. Yeah, we loved God. Yes, sir. He said, well, hey, look, I'm going to tell you all this stuff about, we can get that. You know, you mentioned Paul. You know, Falwell's out there a few years ago fighting for Sun Young Moon. He says, well, I disagree with what he says, but I'll die for his right to say it. Moon ain't saying that about Falwell.
That's right.
And we'll say, well, I don't believe in freedom of speech, and I think those homosexuals honorably disagree with what they do, but I'll die for that. Well, you go die for it. You go die so queer can solicit your child.
Yeah.
They ain't dying until you can do it.
They're just dying.
I like that. Anyway, anyway, so it's right through the heckler, you know. And I'm back here and I said, age is not the judgment of God. Now, you know, I never thought I'd see the day I put a smile on a face so queer. I mean, a couple of these whatevers look at whatever and fellas.
Oh, he won't.
Before they came back, shook my hand. I figured I'd better finish my message.
And the blessing of God.
I believe that, all right? That is just God doing what we were supposed to. And you know something, people? It doesn't look like it's being contained. You know when it's uncontainable, you know what God does? All you got to do is read Genesis 18:19. And people, God is going to level this nation someday. And I'm going to tell you, look, have you ever been told to do something as a kid, and your parents said, you do it or I will, and when they finally did it, you didn't like the way they did it? You know, God told us to take care of homosexuals in this country, and we did not. Now, when he takes care of it, we're not going to have one valid complaint about how he handled it. When he says, when we say, we don't like what you did, he says, that's okay, I didn't like what you did either. So I won't do anything. That's what I mean. I want you to know, now look, and I'm going to tell you what a compromiser I am. We believe the Bible, and we live by the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe the Bible, and I don't live by the Bible. Because the Bible says they all ought to be dead, and I ain't out keeping. Okay? I don't have a bumper sticker that says, kill a queer for Christ. All right? Some guy's got one of those, you know. And that's a real good one for them to point at us and say, correct. Okay? That's a real good one. And I don't believe that. If I believe that, I wouldn't have the bumper sticker. I'd have a gun. Okay? Why, if you believe it, why wouldn't you pass it? I believe they should be dead. But in our society, we ain't going to do that. Okay? So I'm not advocating that we should go out there what you do is you get around the back of the gay bar with 5 gallons of gas, the front of the gay bar, and you pour it all in there, and you light it. I'm not advocating that, okay? But, and then if your gun, shotgun the one, to get out. But, I'm not advocating anybody do that. Okay? I'm not advocating that. But I'll tell you something, people. Homosexuals ought to be pushed back in the closet. They ought to burn the house or the closet in. And you better get it straight, my friend. Straight, I said. You better get it straight that when they came out of the closet, we're going to get pushed into the closet that they came out of. And it's fast becoming where you're afraid to spank your child in public. You're afraid to witness in public. You're not going to be able to carry your Bible in public. And you know what you're going to find yourself? You're going to find yourself a closet Christian. And don't get spiritual on me and talk about a prayer closet, because that ain't what we're talking about. I like to say straight. Straight as in not queer. I'll tell you something else. Straight as in not crooked. You know, people say, I do not intend, the only time I ever intend to offend somebody is when I talk about environmental. That is the only time. Look, if I'm serious, if you're an environmentalist, I think they ought to use what that opening up here for the strategic oil reserve. It is obviously empty. I think people that chain themselves to trees should be chained to trees. I've always really go up there, and I'll chain to the trees. I sort of go up there. I'm really worried about these guys. You know, I just kind of like to slap an extra lock through there. I just want to do that to Mormon bikes, you know? Just sitting there, walking down the telephone pole, put the chain around, slap the lock on, and go down the street. Tell myself, boy, I'm afraid to just feel his bike. And just go by, put another lock through that thing, and say, I'm just helping them guys, you know? And just kind of park somewhere and watch them come back. And, you them three guys, you know? Don't cut their trees. Don't cut their trees. That's the time to cut it, okay? But I just walk up there, you know, and kind of snap another lock to that thing, and have them all say, Bill, the cameras are leaving. The news media is gone. There's no sense in being here. Okay, I got my lock off. Go ahead and take yours off. Oh, who put a lock on there? He put a lock on there. Right there's a lock. I only got my lock on him. Did you take the lock off? Oh, who put no lock on there? You put the lock on there, but I took my lock off.
How long, folks? Well, you've been there for 3 hours, man. You just found out. Just stay put. You're going to help the environment. You're going to be part of the ecosystem. The first time a wolf or a bear comes by. You're going to help new trees grow. Probably the best thing ever happened to you, too. Listen, when I say something, and this ain't even part of my message, but somebody might need this. And if your ears are burning right now and the back of your neck is hot, you're a fool if you're environmentalist. You're a fool. And whenever I offend an environmentalist, it doesn't bother me at all. But anyway. I'm offended. You know what I'm offended by? I'm offended that I have to talk to born again, Bible believing people about not being crooked. You know, we're dishonest people. Now, we're not dishonest because we're Christians, and we're not dishonest because we're Baptists. We're not dishonest because we're religious. We're dishonest by nature. Okay? We are just naturally dishonest. You said, preacher, I always told the half truth. Wrong half. Right? But I'm going to tell you, listen, some of the things that go on in churches amongst born again people who are out preaching it, who are out winning souls, who are living separated, godly, dedicated, all of those swaths that they're supposed to be living. They're just some crooked people. I mean, I don't know where you're crooked. If you go in and you punch in and out on time cards, there's ways to be crooked with those. I just punch in on time card. I know how you can be crooked with a time card. Are you? Or are you straight? There's ways to be crooked. Listen, there's a man here that's got a job that doesn't know how to turn a six-hour job into an eight-hour job. You say, what is it? That's crooked. Crookedness is in our heart. It is an integral part of our makeup. And you weren't born a queer, but you were born a crook. Okay? I mean, look, you've been lying since the first time you had a dry diaper on and cried like it was wet.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Just because you want somebody to pick you up, you are a crook. But when you got saved, you got another nature. And God moved inside of you. And you got a perfect book. And you came into church. And you submitted yourself to Bible preaching. And you read your Bible. And you told God that you are to live for Him and glorify Him. And then when you have a chance to be perfect, you still are. Because I'll tell you why. It's not because you think being crooked is bad so you stop it. It's you'll be crooked when you think you won't get caught. Well, where are you different than the people that are doing something right now in the dark in Amarillo? There's a crowd that we condemn their life, we condemn where they live, we condemn their crookedness, amen. We condemn Congress, we're just like them. We cheat God, we cheat man.
Amen.
We cheat our family. I'm telling you, Christians will lie at the drop of a hat. Take it back. People will lie at the drop of a hat. Unfortunately, being a Christian doesn't throttle it. You might have to drop that twice, you know, so you say, I gave it a good try. But you got a bunch of women chasers. You got a bunch of liars. You got people that are crooked with their own checkbook. You got people that are crooked in the way they treat the church as far as finances. I'm telling you, people, you know what that street was called? That street was called Straight, and some of you probably would not be allowed to live there. Because you're crooked. We ought to be straight.
Amen.
You ought to be straight and not crooked. You ought to be straight and not queer. You ought to be straight and not crooked. I mean, your dealings ought to be up front.
Amen.
If you got a debt, you ought to pay it.
Amen.
You say, well, it's just too big for me. Who made it? I mean, you're the guy that made it. I knew of a Christian that had to go bankrupt because his bills were too big. You know what he did? Over the next something like 15 years, I after he went bankrupt and was now exempt from ever having to pay his bills over the next 10 or 15 years, he paid off his bills. He said, he told his creditors, I had to go bankrupt. I had to go bankrupt to protect myself and to keep what I've got. But he said, I didn't go bankrupt to shoot you out of your money.
Yeah.
And that poor man still didn't have a lot of money. By every extra dime and every extra nickel that he got, every extra dollar he got, he went to somebody that he owed money to, and he paid off his debts. You know why? He wasn't crooked. That's why.
Yeah.
He's straight. Buddy, we will beat people out of things. We'll beat people out of money. We will cheat at everything we do. I'm telling you tonight, we're as crooked as the world outside this building.
Yeah.
And it's nicer, but we're not supposed to be natural.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have something that is above nature, that is super nature, that is supernatural.
Amen.
You said you had God in you. Why don't you live like God's in you?
Amen.
Why would a child of God have to be crooked to exist?
Amen.
And there's some people, I like what one preacher said. He said that lady would climb a tree to tell a lie when the truth would be easy and it'd be less trouble. But truth has no value with us. You know what has a value with us? Me getting what I want my way. And buddy, we're getting on telephone. You're like them two ladies on the phone, boy. They were talking about a Ford 50, you know. I mean, just leaning into it, you know. And I said, oh yeah, oh, tell me more. For about another 10 minutes, man, she whacked Kelly pushing on, and she's, oh, tell me more. Well, I'll tell you, I heard this and that, that. Oh, tell me more, child, can't you? I've already told you more than I heard. And it doesn't bother us at all. It doesn't bother us at all. Evil, we should be straight. We should not be clear. We should not be crooked. I'll tell you something else about straight. Straight is to be frank. You should tell me straight, Lee. I have this guy and please understand. When a church needs a pastor, it's not my business. Okay? It ain't my business unless I'm a member of that church. And my church ain't looking for a pastor, so it's not my business. And a church was looking for a pastor, and a fellow called me and he asked me about a candidate they had. And I'm not going to badmouth the guy. I figure this, man. If you got a whole church full of people can vote in the wrong man, it's their fault. But I asked him this, because I knew this guy wasn't, I don't think this guy's a King James Bible. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, did you ask him if he believes King James Bible's Word of God? He said, yeah, we did. I said, what did he say? He said, well, he talked, and he went on, he talked for like 20 minutes, and basically ended it by saying, I've always used it. I said, that's not me. He said, well, we didn't think so, so we asked him again. I said, well, what did he say? He said, well, he talked for another 20, 25 minutes, and then kind of got hot and said, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't use it. I said, are you a Baptist writer? He said, no. I said, that didn't take long, did it?
Right.
He went, oh. I said, brother, I have no problem with somebody that wants to qualify their answer. But when you ask the man, are you or aren't you, do you or don't you, I don't care after his hour-long filibuster, somewhere he's got to say yes or no. This guy, you'd have thought he wasn't trying to be a pastor. He's running for president. This, I think, one of the greatest, I think the epitome of president is a Texan. Lyndon Baines Johnson. Bain is probably better. I can remember Lyndon Baines Johnson getting up there during the Vietnam War. And I think just before he'd go out, you know, he turned to his suit. He said, come on there, Jay. My fellow American, I come to you tonight with a heavy heart. Now, you had to listen to that, because that's all you can understand. From there, you went around the world, pal. I mean, other than my fellow Americans, I come to you now with a heavy heart. You couldn't understand anything he said. That, I was thinking I would look at him, and I would, I mean, have you ever been to a place where it was over your head? I get some of these guys, I get some of these physicists, you know, we start talking some things, and man, I mean, I'm telling you what, I am right at the limit of my ability to comprehend. I mean, I am hanging on, you know. goes up like a thunder. It's like a preacher friend of mine, you know, this preacher friend of mine was talking to some preachers. This really happened. He was talking to some preachers and he said, "Oh, hey, man, let me tell you my new call-out joke." And this one preacher said, "Excuse me." He said, "How do you know I'm Polish?" And he looked over and said, "Oh, okay. Then I'll tell it real slow." Figure out what that physicist is talking about. In my personal studies and things that I just kind of look in, I can hang on to that conversation. I used to do that with Lyndon Johnson. I can't hang on nothing. I'm telling you what, after I come to you tonight with a heavy heart, it was a stainless steel ball that was greased. There was no hanging on. There was no reaching the limit or the edge. I mean, after he said, I come to you tonight with a heavy heart. It was over, brother. I mean, it was like he just pushed the button and the trapdoor, and I went, I sit there with you, and he would be going on. And so then, because of the political situation in Vietnam, and we cannot allow these things to get... Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't do it, man. You know what? He wasn't straight. That guy was never straight. I don't mean he was clear. I think I do mean he was crooked. But I'll tell you what he was. He's confusing. A God is not the author of confusion. You know, when I come away from something, now please understand, you know, if you don't have a computer, and you get around a guy that is just, I mean, head over heels in a computer, he will speak a foreign language. And I don't mean like that. But when a guy is talking to you, and you are trying to communicate on the same level, and when it's all over, you're confused, that ain't of God. That ain't a gun. What is our president known for? Well, adultery. Do we have that much time? He is known for giving two answers on every.
That's right.
What is that? That's confusing. That ain't straight. I mean, the guy can get up and say one thing and turn right back around and say another. I will not raise taxes on the middle class. Well, he has lowered the middle class to below $30,000 a year. That's all. I mean, he wants to tax what your house is worth. He wants to tax anything that your health insurance pays above what he wants to give you. I'm telling you, he's going to find a way to tax there. Yeah. I don't know how he's going to put meters on our mouths to find out who's been breathing too much. You know, well, don't pay off their stuff. You know what you ought to be? You ought to be straight. When somebody asks you something, look, I understand that you, like I said, you may have to qualify what you're about to say. You may have to say, "Now please, don't shoot me till I'm dead." You know, that's not how it is now. Every now and then, you all be talking about, and you're looking at a guy, I have got opinions on everything. If I have these people opinionated, well, that's your opinion. Right. I don't like opinionated people. That's your opinion. Right? I am an opinionated person. I mean, I've got opinions on everything. But you're looking at a guy who doesn't think the whole world makes noise. I think, like one guy said, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. Nobody wants somebody else's. Oh, well, like another guy said, things like armpits, everybody's got two and they both stink. But, I can have somebody say, here's what I think. And if I think opposite, I'll understand it.
I just don't feel it's necessary for him to know it. I figure all we're going to do is bang heads. I just don't waste time. So I just sit there and let him win. Now, I will say this. When a guy said, now, here is why I do what I do, or here's why I believe what I believe, I can say, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. I don't necessarily agree with it. I have a switch. My switch is this. What do you think? Now, they always ask me, and then they always get mad. I could have sat on my opinion the rest of my life, but then you said, oh, what do you think? Well, since you asked, it's 3 points in a pool, man. You know, it's every head bowed when I'm done. I remember one time I was on a staff of a church of 1,800 people. And they began to build the auditorium. What they did is they tore a wall out, doubled the size of the auditorium. And in doing that, they tore out the offices of a couple of the staff members. Not mine, but a couple of other staff members. And this one particular prideful staff member was in this kind of a cubbyhole thing. And I had to go through there to get into some a storage room to get some things. And he was standing there one day, and he said, Sam, he said, do you want my desk? And he had a nice metal desk. I mean, this thing, you could probably melt it down to about 3 Subarus. I mean, it was a metal desk, okay? And I thought, when he said that, the first thing I thought of, I said, well, what's wrong? You know, is this a, oh, no, I said, the first thing I thought of was my desk. Now, my desk, I had no idea what it looked like new, because it had all been paneled. Somebody just put paneling and nailed paneling all over the outside of it. Look, it was sturdy. You know, you could hit it. It didn't move. And the drawers didn't fall off. Basically, it did its job. I said, no, I don't need another desk. I said, why? I said, get rid of this one. He said, yeah, I'm getting rid of this metal desk. I said, why? I said, is it broke? Is there something wrong with it? He said, no. He said, but in that new office they're building me, they're building new offices for the ones they tore out. That new office they're building me, he said, this old metal desk is going to just stick out like a sore thumb. I'm getting a new wooden desk. $500 for this bird ego. He was in case. One. Yeah. Anyway, he said, now, I want you to know that as the word left his mouth, I have a quick mind. And I formed an opinion that quick. I didn't have to ponder this one. I thought, what a waste of money. I didn't say it. I said, I thought. Now, you know what I know? I know I better head for the door. He didn't stop. He said, some people think that's okay, and some people think it's a waste of money. Quick. I already knew what group I was in. I'm turning to the door, he said. What do you think? I just said, I think it's a terrible waste of money.
Oh, you asked me. I wasn't going to run out the office and tell everybody that either. I was going to just sit there and shut up and look at my nice panel of desk.
I got a wooden desk. I should have given him mine.
You know, when you answer questions, somehow I have an answer. When somebody wants a yes or a no, I didn't say you have to say what they want to hear, but when they want a yes or a no, I don't care if you got to talk for an hour, but at the end of the hour, they better have a yes or a no. We are the biggest maybe babies I've ever seen. And it's not that we don't have an opinion, and it's not that we don't know right from wrong, but I say something, right and wrong mean nothing to us anymore. You know what means something to us? What will be the fallout from what I say?
Yeah,
and if I say this is right, I'm in trouble. So I just say, I think everybody has their own opinion, and I think you're all in the pluralistic society. I come to you today with a heavy heart. And I want to say that, with all the opinions and the multitude of multicultural things that are in our country, I think we have to take all things into consideration, don't you? I wouldn't waste 5 minutes on God like that. Now, please understand. You know what Ephesians talks about? Now, here's the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is, buy your polo coat. You know what that is? That's it. I'm going to make the whole world mad at how truthful I am. Well, I just told you that action. You didn't ask. I just said, wow, you got action. Man, they got that. You couldn't take the count. I just tell the truth, and I just honest love God so much, I just tell the truth. I mean, as soon as we get to talk about our accent, we'll talk about your big nose. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians? The Bible talks in Ephesians about speaking the truth in love. I'm pastoring. I have received more weddings than I've before. You have to understand that a pastor is not obligated to marry you. We are known for three things. We hatch them, match them, and dispatch them. Okay? I mean, you're there when they're born, you're there when they're married, and you're there when they're buried. We are not obligated to marry you. You say, who would you refuse to marry? People I didn't think should be there. If I liked them, I would refuse. If I didn't think they should be married. So who are you to judge? I have a right to judge. I don't have a right to try to stop the marriage. I just don't have to be part of it. Was pastoring and a couple came into my office. As I'm standing here, they were in love. Okay? They were in love. Because they weren't. Isn't that good enough? Oh, I don't know. Solomon could hit him 1,000 times. Oh, man, that's kind of superficial. I'm 1,000 times. I'm in love. Are you a girl? Good. Let's get married. I tell people, I said, it says there in 1 Kings 11, down around verse 6 or 7, it says you had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Everybody says, he said, had 700 wives, princesses. Well, you don't want to call them princess. How do you remember the name of 1,000 wives? Really? No. Louise. I was just kidding. Who's Mary? I know that. Mary? I got a card for Mary. Mary! Nancy. Yes, I was just talking to somebody beyond you. Oh, Dorothy, right. Okay. It was easy. Princess. My princess. This couple came in my office. They were in love. They wanted to be married. God had brought them together. They were saved. I have no doubt they were saved. I have no doubt they were in love. Oh, isn't that enough? Man, that's yours. For $25? Right? I mean, at least it's a check. That's how some guys think. And as they sat in my office and they talked, I'll be honest, sometimes I ain't picking it up. Something ain't ringing. And someone ringing. And I couldn't put a finger on it. So I gave up. And I just said, well, when do you two want to be married? And she spoke up and said, as soon as his divorce is over, it's final. And I said, lady, you're telling me, you're sitting in my office talking to me about marrying you to another woman's husband. Well, he's in the process. I said, wait a minute. I said, you came in here and told me that God brought you two together? You're telling me God brought you two together while he is married to someone? I said, I can't have part of that. Now, honest, you know me. But honest, I didn't stand on my desk. I didn't point my finger in their face and scream at them. I said, I ain't had no part. I said, I want you to know, God did not bring you two together. You say, why were you so nice? Because they were in love. They were in love. And I was trying to be nice to their heart. But I'm going to tell you something, people. You know what our problem is? When we do tell the truth, we write it on the head of a ball peen hammer. And then we just go, can't take the truth. Isn't that right? That book said that we are to tell the truth in love. You know what that is? That's strange. That is strange. I tell people that if what I say makes you mad, you need to get right. If the way I say it makes you mad, I need to get right. Because if I tell you the truth and you get upset, that's your problem. But if I tell you the truth in a way that you get mad at the way I say it, my friend, now you never heard the truth. We need to be straight. We need to be not confusing. You need to take a stand. I used to be years ago, I was a volunteer fireman. In two other films. I knew all of them. We all knew each other. Now, I want you to know there was some drinking, cussing, spitting, chewing, rough, tough, bar fighting guys in that volunteer fire department. And no one likes to have to take a stand. I didn't say you won't. I said no one likes to have to take a stand for our Christianity in front of those people. Because you're afraid of what they'll think. I really wasn't afraid of what they would do. I didn't think they were going to punch me in the mouth. But it was funny. Because there were three stands taken. And one guy said nothing. One guy said nothing. The other guy said, I disagree with it, but to help the fire department, I'll go along with it. And I said, guys, I'd do anything I could to help regroup and reform this fire department. And I said, I would love to see us have something that would raise money for it. But I said, as a Christian, I cannot be part of something that's going to be selling booze.
Amen.
And that was my last volunteer fire department meeting. Now, honest, I didn't get up on the fire truck and say, bless God, let me tell you about this shit of booze. I knew. But I told him straight. The guy that didn't tell him anything is divorced. He's out of church. And he's probably partaking of the same kind of stuff they were selling. The guy that took the wishy-washy stand came about that close to losing his family. Spiritually. That close. By his wavering. Because, you see, people, we're creatures of habit. You show me somebody wavers here, and I already know they'll waver here, and here, and here. So how do you know that? Because we're creatures of habit. Buddy, when somebody jumps the fence and runs, I know they'll jump the fence and run every time. You know what you need to do? There's going to be a time when you just need to stand up and say, look, you folks might not like this. You don't like what I believe, and you listen to the news, and it paints us up as nuts, and you can write me off as nuts. I just want you to know, I'm not a cult, but I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is my Savior, and that's where I am.
Amen.
I mean, just lay it out. Tell them straight. Don't be confusing. I'll tell you something else about straight. Straight and not wavering. You know what a bullet does? It goes, I mean, it goes straight. It doesn't go, but it goes, no wobble. And if it does wobble, you are going to find a guy that shoots in a match that wants that gun. He wants that thing to go straight.
He wants it to have nothing to go off to the side. He doesn't want it to drop. He knows how far that target's out. If he's, that target is out 500 yards or 800 yards or 1,000 yards out, he wants that thing 1,000 yards out to be maybe a half an inch below the muzzle that it left. You say, man, that's got to be going straight. Straight. You know that a weapon that has fired straight has saved many a man's life, and a weapon that did not fire straight, shoot straight. There are some men who are not here to talk about it. There are some men that it didn't matter. Listen, I mean, some, it just goes to the left. Some of you, you ever got, you know, you get a 22, one of 22 rifles, you know, it costs $8. And it doesn't matter. You just don't even sight them in anymore. You just know that if you're shooting at, I don't want to shoot at God. If you're going to, if you're shooting at this, you just, you don't even try to sight the rifle anymore. You just aim here. And you get it right there. You know what I'm saying? You ever have one of those? Just, okay, I'm aiming at his feet. Why are you aiming at his feet? I want to hit him in the head. You know what? We should be unwavering in turning from the right path. We are going to see over the next few years Christians fall out by the bushel basketful.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what it'll be. It won't be doctrine. Oh, some of it will be that mid-tribulation rapture thing. Some of it will. Most of it will be standards of life. Most of it will be liberty. I'm telling you the truth. So I don't like to hear it. I know, but I want to tell you this. You know what you need to do? You need to find the right... Look, I hear a lot of things that go on around me in the ministry and with other Christians. And you know what I do? When people ask me, you know what I tell them? See, I'll tell you what I have. I don't know everything, but I know something. I know the row I'm supposed to plow. I mean, I can't even say. I was in Kansas, and this old boy had one of them big four-wheel, all-wheel, million-wheel drive John Deere's, you know. I mean, he had options on there I don't have on my van. And he had a 12-bottom plow. And we just went out there, and we turned some earth. And I'm telling you what, brother, I mean, you put that plow down there, and you hit those hydraulics, and you start plowing a row, there is nothing like the feel of power when you drop that plow about 3 more inches and it bites and you hammer that throttle and that turbocharger kicks in on that million cubic inch engine. And I really believe we turned the earth back. I think that day was about 24 hours and 10 minutes, man. I mean, we just, you know, I mean, you feel that thing, brother. I mean, a big old 12. And when you're done, you got 12 full rows. I can't even say... I got a 12-bottom plow. I got me one row. You know what I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about when I get to the end of it, turn around, and see it go like this.
Yeah, yeah, amen, brother.
I don't want that. I'm telling you, I don't want that. I can't do everything. And so some things I'm going to try to do. Look, man, you know, people talk about burn abortion clinics. And I, if you'll burn abortion clinics, that's your business. I'll tell you what I'd like to see burn. I'd like to see a liquor store burn. That's right. I've always thought, man, you imagine what the colors would be like in a liquor store? I just, wow, look at that purple. Ooh, look at that blue. But, oh, it's going out. There's no one down the corner. I mean, I just think... Again, I don't advocate burn abortion clinics. I do know that when one burns, there are just going to be some people that are going to live for it. So I can't get real tore up, okay? I mean, I can't get real sad about it. But that's not my issue. I know some guys, if you're not a street preacher, you're a coward and a dog. And I'm going to tell you something. You know who the brave preacher is? He's not the street preacher. I hear some, and look, I believe in street preaching. But I hear some of these street preachers, you know, they overinflate their case.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, you know, I go down there, boy, I mean, it ain't but a good old goody-two-shoes Christians, man. I get down there with that, man, they'll offer hard and they'll give you a hard thing just there. They'll call you all kinds of names. So?
Yeah.
And after what, 10 minutes, you'll get in your car and drive away. I said, you know who's got it tough?
Amen, man.
I said, you can go down any street you want and preach the same message every time.
Amen.
Yeah. I said, this old boy's got to get 4 new messages every week.
Yeah.
Every week, 52 weeks a year.
Amen.
He's got to face the same crowd that knows him, and that if he makes them upset, they'll cut his throat. Isn't that right? I'm not talking about you, but brother, listen. That's how it is. Well, we'll just quit tithing. We'll put the money in a bank account, and then when we get a new pastor, we'll put it all in one lump sum. Oh, yeah, God did that. Brother, ain't no street preacher ever faced pressure like what a pastor faces. All right? I don't face the pressure that a pastor faces. I leave at the end of the week. But here's the thing. Street preaching ain't mine. I got me one row. You know what I want? I look, when I plow my row, if I look over there and I see Stocker, let him plow his row.
Amen.
Let him plow his row, brother. So, do you think y'all plow that way? You understand? I don't care how he plows.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Now, within reason, I think you understand doctrine and such like, and compassion, things like that. But face it, folks. His role is not my responsibility. This week we ride the tractor together. That's that. But you know what I got? I got me a row, and all I want is I want to get to the end of that thing, and I want to turn around and say, "Look at that sucker!" Oh, I just want to take that row. I'll take a gun and I'll lay it down that row, pull the trigger, and have it not hit anything on the side. That's a marker, man. That's a marker. I said, let's pull a string on this thing. And I want to be able to pull that string from one end to the other and go, ping. I want a straight row.
Amen.
You ever think about quitting? Don't waver. Don't waver. You quit. You know what you have to do? You just have to get started again with a big gap in your row that you may never be able to get back.
Right.
You ever think about just chucking the whole thing, or changing your doctrine, or changing your life? I'm telling you something, people. I'll tell you what, you get you one row and you plow that thing. You know what the North Vietnamese did when B-52s bombed runways, or it wasn't B-52s, but it was the F-105s and F-4s and things like that, F-100s bombed runway? They didn't have heavy equipment. Each one would pick up a rock like you got out here. You know, just had a load up brought in. They'd pick up one rock. And they'd walk out to that hole. And they'd go, plunk. Okay, well, one man carrying a rock. Yeah, but what about 500 men carrying a rock? You have 500 rocks in it, first carry. You might be able to have to make 2 trips. You remember what it talked in... I think it's Second Kings 3, where it talks about how they marred the field, the children of Israel. They went in, and it says, every man took a stone. You know what they did? Just imagine, if you had an army of 10,000 men, that's not a lot of men, and they all had a rock like that, and they all walked out into that field right there, and just went, plunk, and walked away. And you got one farmer who's got to clean it up. You know what I'm doing? I'm plowing me a row. And Stocker's plowing him a row. And somebody else plowing her over here, and somebody else plowing her over here. We're trying to get a field done. The field's the world.
Amen.
You know what you need to do? Just drop the plow a little bit. Crack the throttle a little bit. But plow your row.
Amen.
Plow your row straight. Don't waver. You know, I see people, I go to churches, and I see somebody, they're in church and they're out. They're in church and they're out. They're in church and they're out. You know what I know? I know they'll be in church and out the rest of their life. Could you imagine a farmer that plowed a field that way? Well, I'm going to plow. Nah, I'm not going to plow. No, I'm going to plow. I'm just not going to plow. My tractor isn't working right. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody's helping me.
Well, the miserable plow. I am a farmer, you know. People think I won't think I'm a farmer if I don't plow. All right. You a Christian? If you're a Christian, live like a Christian and don't waver.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, just like there's a sin for everybody, there's something to catch your attention. I mean, you know, you look at your teen years in high school, and one guy came out of high school and got hooked on booze. Another one, he didn't think anything of booze. He got hooked on dough. Another one wouldn't do either one. He got hooked on money. Another got hooked on sex. You know what? I mean, there's just always something to get you to just go. Just another gospel. Something to exert your energy this way, and what you realize, you know what? We're going to get up to heaven, and I think we're going to see some people's rogo. And they're going to say, did I do a good job, Lord? And here's what you're going to see. When that thing made the first turn, God's going to say, look straight ahead from there. So we're rewarded. It's all untilled ground. So yeah, I know. That's where your road was. But you turned over there. And then you went that way. And then you went down here. And then you decided to turn this way. And then you wavered back. You know what you ought to be? You ought to be straight. Man, if you can't do anything else, you can be straight. You can be straight. I don't care if you can't sing, you can be straight. I don't care if you have no abilities, no talents. Brother, it don't take a lot to drop a plow and crank a throttle. You can be straight. You can be straight and not queer. Hey, I don't care. You know what? If you will not be a queer, I don't care if you get to the end of your life and say, I failed at everything. No, you failed at everything. I'm failing everything. Really? Yeah, I died straight.
Hey.
Man, I tell you, I lost every dollar I ever had, man. I lost every fight I ever got into. I mean, my marriage came apart. I mean, I lost my job. I got a big settlement when my dad died. I invested in a business. It went belly up. Oh, you lost everything. Nope. Not everything. I wasn't a failure at everything, buddy. I wasn't no stinking queer. I mean, I was straight all with you. I did something right. Be straight and not queer. Be straight and not crooked. Be straight and not confusing. Be straight and not wavering. Stand with your heads bowed. Perhaps I'm a coward, but I talked to God because I didn't want to preach this. And God talked to me and talked to me that he wanted me to. That tells me somebody needed it. Now, what were you doing? What were you doing? I'm not interested in what points you needed, and I'm surely not going to try to embarrass anybody. Straight. Let's be straight. Let's not be queer. Let's not be crooked. Let's not be confusing. Let's tell them straight. Let's not be wavering. Let's plow our row straight. What do you do with this? What will this message do to you? What will this message, if the Lord tarries 10 more years, what effect will being straight have had on your life? People, if you can't do nothing, you can be straight. I admonish you as a man of God. Look, I'm called of God to do what I do. I admonish you to be straight. I admonish you to turn a deaf ear. I admonish you to stiffen your chin, stiffen your neck, to everything that would keep you from being straight. I encourage you. I'll help you. Let's be straight. Said he lived on a street called Straight. That's a good street to live on. That's a good street. Lord Jesus, I know that you wanted this message preached. God, I don't know who it's for. Probably for more than one person. Dear God, help us to be straight.
God is the spirit of being queer comes around. Help these people to turn away. God, help us not to be like our nature, crooked. Help us, God, to in love tell the truth, not be confusing, but be strict. Oh God, from now the day you get back, dear God, help us plow a straight road. God, help us walk a straight path. Help us to be straight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Lord,